Blog Talk Radio.
He told me that hell didn't exist, and that heaven was beautiful.
I wanna be a great one. I wanna be a great one. I wanna make a million dollars, making all my days count, counting with my day one. Before I hit the graveyard, Louis V don't chase none. I wanna make a billion dollars, bring it to my pops, say, daddy, what you pray for? What is life, what is love? What are lies, what is trust? What is everything? Everything is nothing without you. What is life, what is love? What are lies, what is trust? What is everything? And everything is nothing without you. Hands up, ready to be saved, yeah. And when my day is done, I hope I die faded. When they take me way up, I hope I fly faded. What is life, what is love? What is time, what is choice? What is everything? Everything is nothing without you. What is life, what is love? I hope I am enough. What is everything? Everything is nothing without you.
My show, Happy Lupus Awareness Month. In case you didn't hear, I am the Guru Warrior. How you doing? How you doing? And I have a very special guest star with me today, and her name is Jonelle Elgaway. Sometimes I get tongue-tied with that, but believe me, beautiful person, trust me. Okay, she is the executive director of the National Pain Association.org. Do I have that right, Jonelle?
National Pain Council.
National Pain Council. Wow, I can't read my own handwriting.
That's okay.
That's good. So, Jonelle, as we know, I mean, ever since we've been growing up, there's always a war on something. And the war on narcotics, as you know, has affected a lot of people, such as myself, with intractable pain, such as yourself, and many people who may be listening to us right now. So can you tell us, what do you exactly do with this organization of yours?
Well, National Pain Council is a citizens group, and there's no ties to any universities, drug companies, corporate entities, or government entities. We operate solely independently to provide facts, write papers in support for legislation changes to reverse the worst medical disaster in the history of the United States, where millions of people with valid, permanent, painful diseases have been removed from their medical treatment at the government's urging and backed by the federal drug police force. National Pain Council provides factual, unbiased information. It's not tainted by outside pressures. And to put this information out for people to use in any way they wish, like none of the materials produced by National Pain Council will be copyrighted, and they'll be available to anybody who wishes to use them. We are composed of ordinary citizens, like people with pain, permanent painful disease and intractable pain syndrome, lawyers, physicians, dentists, veterinarians, nurse practitioners, nurses, educators, media experts, policy specialists, and investigative reporters. Recently, National Pain Council provided information and research to help Arizona pass a state law that patients and doctors. We also have a lot of projects in our pipeline. Currently, we're working on, we're about to provide like regular press releases, which will be sent out to all media news sources, and National Pain Council will be available for comment, and such as like the 7 million patients that have been forced, tapered, or lowered off of their medications to a point that isn't helping them. We will be putting out something soon about updating the updated 2022 CDC guidelines and the Ruat case. So those are like some examples of what we're going to be putting press releases out to, coming up.
Now
we're in the middle of creating. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
that's okay.
Go ahead.
On the flip side, you know, we all know that some of these pain medicines, and this is one of the main reasons why, you know, they made it a war against pain medicine and pain patients and doctors, by the way. You know, doctors became, you know, insane because, you know, the money to be made was ridiculous. Because basically OxyContin became like, I hate to use this word, but they called it hillbilly heroin. And that comes from the people who were doing it, okay? But what I'm saying is, I remember you telling me that you have an educational program that you work with children to explain to them, you know, can you tell me about that program?
Yeah, actually, we have not implemented that yet, but we are working on it. Our medical advisory board is going to be creating a education for junior high and high school students that will cover addiction, dependency, we'll discuss illicit fentanyl, and pain medications. And just like back when the AIDS epidemic was going on, when I was in school, I was a peer helper, and people came in and taught us as peer helpers, and then peer helpers taught, had classes for students, and then we taught them. Well, I carried that through with my life because I, you know, prior to that, I thought you could get AIDS by hugging a person or touching a person, which is not true, you know. So we learned, like, the facts, myth, and truth. And so we're going to be doing the same thing with this. And I think it's very important that kids get educated on this because right now, the main group of people that are overdosing and using illicit drugs or buying pills off the internet and thinking that it is actual, you know, either a benzodiazepine or pain medication, really it's fentanyl in it. And fentanyl, illicit fentanyl is a poison and it is killing our children. It's the main group, I believe, I think it was from 22 to 38 is the main group of where, you know, it's really affecting, but, you know, it's affecting everybody, especially because patients are now being, you know, taken off of their medication and, you know, they have no other outlet. And either there's going to be three things that are going to happen once the patient is taken off that. Either they are going to suffer severely and possibly, you know, new other health problems are going to create, or they are going to go to the street, which then they could possibly overdose and die, or they're going to commit suicide because we're not talking about patients that, you know, go and break their leg. We're talking about people that develop these incurable, painful diseases and you know, it's basically a living hell. It disrupts your life so severely that you become permanently disabled. So these are the people mostly that we're focusing on.
Believe it or not, I mean, You know, there is another thing that I please ask you, you know, when you're talking to these people and you're talking to these other doctors, please mention medical racism as far as these pain pills are concerned, because there are a lot. It's an awful thing. There are, you know, they started on us first. You know, like, okay, it's your fault. And we're like, no, look at Florida. You know, it's them.
And actually, Dr. Andrew Kolodny from the organization of PROP, he actually said, which is such a racist comment, but he said, you know, I saved the urban and Black community from becoming the main people that are overdosing because, you know, because we weren't, they didn't have access to these pain medications, or essentially what he called them is heroin pills, which was, you know, not true at all, because when prescription pain medications are used correctly, the rate of addiction is it's below 1% pretty much, and very few people actually become addicted to these things if taken correctly.
Yeah,
but I'm so sorry
about
that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, the thing about OxyContin that really killed me, and I can't believe that doctors actually bought into this, you know, the fact that, oh, yeah, our narcotic is not as addictive. I'm like, okay, first of all, it's called a narcotic. Narcotic. You know what that means. Automatically, it's addictive, you know.
Of course. And
you know,
like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it was, you know, marketed to doctors, and doctors then pushed it on patients. And they overdid it. But now, right now, with the AMA came out with, it was from 2016 to 2020, that prescription pain medications have, rates have dropped 44.5%, which is a lot. So, and now the people that actually need these medications are not getting these medications. You know, and it's even trickling down to the regular people. Yeah, because like people are waking up from surgeries and are getting IV Tylenol, or
My girlfriend had a C-section and they gave her IV Tylenol, and she is screaming, you know.
Yeah.
When you cut somebody's belly open like that, you know, you expect them to have IV Tylenol? Like, did they make some kind of magical trick into that? And then what happened was, is her eyes started turning yellow.
Well, I was going to say, it also is very hard on the liver.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Tylenol is not a good drug to be taking regularly all the time, you know. Mm-hmm.
No. So now let's get into the fact, because this is so important. Tell us about your Olympic career, because Jonelle is an Olympian and she suffers from intractable pain as well. So let's talk about that.
So I was in the 96 Olympics. I played on the B squad. I was on the United States for field hockey, and I also won a field hockey scholarship to the Ohio State University where I played. And, you know, it was such an amazing experience. I loved playing sports. Sometimes I feel like it actually, you know, got me ready for what I'm having to deal with today, with, you know, dealing with my own health issues, because, you know, between practicing, learning how to eat, working with a team, preparing, mental preparing, you know, all of that is really the same stuff that you're going to have to use with when you are dealing with your health issues as well. But it was a really great experience. I was very young then. You know, I played field hockey from the time I was in seventh grade until, you know, college, obviously. And, yeah, it was just, it was a fun, cool experience, and I'll never forget it. Although it seems like a lifetime ago, and it seems like that wasn't even me now, because sadly, you know, a few years after I finished college, I actually became permanently disabled from a second car accident, and that kind of started my point of when I started developing these incurable painful diseases, which I still have today. So
you told me about CRPS. Can you tell me what that is and what it stands for? It's one of the diseases that I don't have. So explain that to me, please.
Yes. So I have CRPS or RSD, and it stands for Complex Regional Pain Syndrome. Sometimes people call it CRIP, or the suicide disease. And it's a suicide disease because the pain is just so unbearable that people commit suicide. And, you know, sadly, we, you know, if you have, diabetes, you know, you have the drug insulin that you use for it, or, you know, there's some, you know, when you usually have some kind of health issue, there's usually a medication that you can use to help offset it a little bit. Well, really, the only medication that you can use for CRPS, because it's pain, is a pain medication. I mean, there's other things, like you can get ketamine treatment and, other stuff, but at least for me, that's what works best. It's the glue to my everything else. But so CRPS is an autoimmune disease. You usually get it in either your upper limbs or lower limbs, and it will start in one side and then it will mirror to another. There's a type 1 and a type 2. A type 1 is it just kind of comes about from particular, maybe like an injury or something like that, but type 2 is from more of a nerve issue. I'm sorry?
Neuropathy. Okay. Yeah.
Not neuropathy so much, but it comes from like for example, I broke my neck twice, and it usually comes from a nerve that it comes about. But yeah, you do get neuropathy. So I have it in my upper body. I have it in my arms, hands, face, head, and mouth. And so it's very hard to get diagnosed with. Oftentimes, people do not get diagnosed for several years. Which, if you do, if somebody happens to catch it within the first year, it can possibly be reversed, but otherwise, then it's never going to be reversed, and you'll have it the rest of your life, just like a lot of these diseases out there. So it took me 7 years to get diagnosed with it, and I've had it now for 14 years, and, it's just one of many health issues that I've developed over time.
You're a walking miracle. You also have the same thing as me, seizures. So
yes.
How does that coincide with your CRPS? I know that makes it more difficult because when you have a seizure, it's like, hello, four, we're here again, you know. And then you wake up from your seizure and now you got more pain from being on the floor. And I can remember Mr. Guru saying, okay, that's it. We're just going to put styrofoam all over the floor. We're going to nerf the entire house.
And wear a helmet, right?
Yes, and we're going to walk you around with a helmet. And I'm like, okay, no. You know, let's not do that. Let's just try to go to the doctor and figure this one out. He's like, no, I'm tired of this. I mean, you know, we even need a heavier dog at this point. But she's really good at being able to smell the seizures, and she'll grab me or, like, nibble at my leg, like, I think it's time for you to sit down, Mommy. Sometimes I can't keep it on, and I drop like a bag of rocks.
Animals are so amazing, and I have a German Shepherd, and she does the same. I mean, she's great, and she's not trained or anything, but she just naturally does it. But felt seizures. Oh, but I'm sorry.
Keep going.
I developed seizures in 2019. We don't know why, but I am going to guess because it was So since the 2016 CDC guidelines came out on opiates, I have been forced tapered two different times. And in 2017, when I was forced tapered, I developed pot and tachycardia. I believe you have tachycardia too. And And then in my 2019 forced taper, when my doctor, you know, was the state medical board went after him and took his license, I developed seizures. So, it's scary because actually I, right now I'm going through my doctor, my current doctor is being investigated once again by the state medical board. And, you know, he hasn't lost his license yet or anything like that, but I'm trying to prepare for another forced taper, and I'm not trying to be dramatic, but I don't know if I have another forced taper in me. Like, what else am I going to develop? Am I going to get a heart attack? Am I going to get a stroke? You know, I don't know. It's scary. And that's why I'm fighting so hard right now for my doctor and for me. And I think one thing that this community and the public needs to do is every doctor that is being investigated by the state medical boards or by the DEA, that doctor, we have to act like it's our doctor and support him and protect him and do what we can. And then the
or
patient.
Or her.
Oh, I didn't know. I said him. Sorry. Oh. I just said it's him online.
We have to do that.
You're right. Correct. Thank you. But the patient too. Every patient that is being forced tapered or losing their doctor, we have to act like that's us. And it's because we have not had a lot of support. It's been really hard because, you know, obviously this community, we have very little money because we're all disabled. You know, it just happened so suddenly. We weren't ready for it. Doctors really weren't ready for it. So, and they have been focused on and are attacked. And either they go with the program and follow what their, you know, the laws that they implemented, or they fight it, and then they're going to be looking at possibly the state medical boards and the DEA looking at them,
and
then they'll lose their license and their life and jail time.
And jail
in fact, Dr. Stephen Henson a few years ago, he got jailed for life in prison because of this. And, you know, it's just, I can't believe
that. It's disgusting. Well, it's
and no wonder why doctors are afraid.
You know, they wonder why doctors just, you know, barely pay attention to you. They come in, they come out, they're like, bye, you know, because... You know,
your number, and they have to keep their numbers and their levels of what they're prescribing to a certain amount. And if they don't, they're going to get a letter from, you know, the medical board saying, hey, you know, your levels are too high with your patients. So,
my doctor actually just said, you know, sorry, I can't take care of you anymore. Here's your last month. Goodbye. And I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, luckily I'm a well-educated woman, so I learned how to taper myself down. But yet and still, I found myself in the hospital every other week with seizures and sweating and all kinds of other things that I really don't want to say on the radio, but it was quite embarrassing and a very trying time for me. I'm allergic to Advil, Tylenol, you know, aspirin. So I can't take those drugs. So when lupus beats the living daylights out of me, I'm done. I just lay in the bath, or I can't even get a fever. I have to soak in the tub of ice. I can't.
Well,
doctor almost killed me, like a couple of weeks ago, because I had a really high fever. And, you know, the nurse brought in Tylenol. She's like, well, the doctor said there's no such thing as being allergic to Tylenol, so you have to take this. I was like, no, there's a HIPAA law that says I can refuse any medication. And she just didn't listen. She put it in me. I was like, get Benadryl. I had an EpiPen in my pocketbook. you know, I was not praying. I couldn't even see out of my eyes, and I began to stop breathing. I was like, when I say something, you know, this is the truth. I mean, I don't care what color my skin is. I am a very smart person. I know what my body cannot take. You do not know my full medical history. You just know what other doctors have written about me, because I am my own advocate, and I will stand up for myself. I'm not going to just let you give me something that may poison me and kill me. And when I say my body's had enough, it's had enough. And a lot of people don't understand, as patients, that they can be their own advocate. So how do you advocate for these people? I understand you have a podcast. Let's talk about that.
Oh, well, so I've been advocating now for the chronic pain community and doctors for the last 7 years. And, when I first kind of got into this way to reach a lot of people and to, you know, get information out there, the correct information, because there's a lot of information out on the web, on the internet, and, you know, a lot of it is misinformation. So what is right and what's wrong, you know, and what's true, not. So I decided to originally create, it was called Conspiracies Against Wellness. And I think the name is very fitting, you know. I originally had it 3 times a week. And I started to have guests on. And I would have, you know, doctors, psychiatrists, patients, and a bunch of people. And then I decided, you know what? I want to create a network with where I'd be producing shows for other people, and also I could host some of them. So I ended up producing 4 shows. First one was, you know, Conspiracy Against Wellness, and that was just mine. The second one was The Doctor's Corner with Dr. Thomas Klein and myself, and, you know, we'd have guests on and discuss different things. Dr. Thomas Klein is brilliant.
And he's also your partner as well in this endeavor, the National Pain Association, right?
Council, yes, National Pain Council. Yeah, we both kind of developed this and wanted to do this because after going to Washington, D.C. and meeting with legislators, you know, they would ask, well, who are you with? What organization are you with? And they really kind of didn't want to talk to you unless you had an organization backed by you and also numbers, you know? So when Dr. Klein ended up retiring, but it was kind of a forced retirement, he and I created National Pain Council in 2020 of September, and we have 4 board members. We have a bunch of volunteers, but you know what, we're always looking for more volunteers and affiliates, and if you'd like to sign up to do that, you can at nationalpaincouncil.org. It's really easy. We also accept donations. That's the only way we accept, you know, get money right now in. And you know, I that's like one of the things that I really hate asking for, but, you know, any organization, if you have, you know, projects and you want to do the major things, you need to be able to have money to run it. So it's part of the job, I guess. But one of the major things, though, that we do in this is we provide tools for patients so they can advocate for themselves. In fact, this past year, I call it doctor whispering. We taught them how to doctor whisper and speak with their doctors, and because there's a way to speak to them. So they don't look at you as a number, but they look at you as a human again and understand what is going on. And we were able to get their medications reinstated. And then 37 patients, we were able to find new doctors. And I know it might not sound like a lot within the last year, but man, we worked our butt off to get those patients you know, the help that they did, and we want to continue helping more. So that's another thing. If you need help, you know, either speaking with your doctor or finding a doctor, you know, sign up, and in the comments area, just put that you need help, and we'll get back to you on that. So
fabulous. It sounds like, you know, we need more people. So if you want to be an advocate, or you're a caretaker of somebody who is dealing with chronic pain, such as Jonelle and myself, please, you know, sign up. I mean, there are other ways that you can help. I mean, just by doing this podcast right now and explaining what's really going on behind the curtain. You know, we are right now, you know, bringing about awareness, as well as awareness for National Lupus Awareness Month, you know. And, you know, people with lupus lose all kinds of things, kidneys, livers, you know, lungs, gastro, like I was telling somebody earlier.
Gastroparesis.
I'm developing gastroparesis. So that's going to be fun. I'm right now suffering from some very serious rein issues with just plain old arthritis. So, you know, are medications that are actually worse than narcotics.
Yeah.
And I'm going to name one that is going to, like, well, I'll name two. One is called prednisone, which, believe it or not, will fix you right up and make you feel like Superman. But if you use it for a long period of time, what happens to the body is it becomes physically addicted to it, much like OxyContin and, you know, other drugs like gabapentin, which they're trying to use instead of pain medicine. Gabapentin, I like to call the suicide drug. It helps for people. It supposedly helps people with pain. To me, it feels like I'm walking through mud when I take that. So I'm like, oh, no. It makes all your hair fall out. It has driven people crazy.
It makes you gain weight. You know, and they use it off-label. It was originally used for seizures. It's an anti-seizure medicine. But, you know,
even the seizure
really
medicine.
Should research every medication that you take, or anytime you want to do a therapy or anything. And look, I'm not saying that pain medications are going to be the solution to everything, but for me, that's like my glue to everything else. But there's a lot of other things that I have to do as well.
Okay, Jim, now we're going to take a short break. And ladies and gentlemen, please stick with us, because we got so much more, okay? Like, follow, subscribe. If you want to call in, our number is 563-999-3579. Call in. Talk to us.
And if you can't learn to love, you should leave them. Because sister, you don't need them. And I ain't trying to catch up. I just call them how I see. You know what makes me unhappy? That when brothers make mates and leave a young mother to be a cat. And since we all came from a woman, got our name from a woman, and I came from a woman. I wonder why we take from our women, why we rape our women, do we hate our women? I think it's time to kill for our women, time to heal our women, be real to our women. And if we don't, we'll have a race of babies that will hate the ladies that make the babies. And since a man can't make one, he has no right to tell a woman when and where to create one. So will the real men get up? I know you're fed up, lady, but keep your head up. I remember Marvin Gaye used to sing to me. He had me feeling like black was the thing to be. And suddenly the kettle didn't seem so tough. And though we had it broken, we always had enough. I've been
Welcome, welcome. Caller area code 312.
Hi, caller area code 302. Welcome to the Guru Warrior Show. What would you like to say today?
I wanted to actually ask you all some questions about addiction issues. Maya Salovitz, the harm reduction advocate, has written quite a lot about how the majority of people who have addictions to, say, like OxyContin, we talked about that a lot, had prior addiction histories. And I know, like, the National Institute of Drug Abuse has talked about the distinction between dependence and addiction. So can you all speak to whether the medication itself versus, say, genetics have some role to play in that?
Well, actually, no, it depends who you're speaking with, but actually we have a paper with the National Pain Council that we do believe that genetics definitely do play a role. And, you know, especially if you have a family member that has alcoholism or, you know, has been addicted to, you know, heroin or whatever, I think it's definitely important to anybody that's, you know, children and stuff like that of those parents. They should definitely look out and watch out if they do have, they could possibly also form a possible addiction. I mean, but addiction could be many things. It could be to nicotine, you know, to sugar, to food, stuff like that.
Right.
Just like
yeah.
with drug, you know, any drug, whether it's a prescription drug or illicit drug. So
it's a very
what do you think
gray
about that?
Area. Well, for me, it's a very gray area. Like my mother was an alcoholic. So, you know, I tried to stay away from alcohol a lot. You know, I would drink on occasions, but I always kept in the back of my mind, like, hey, you know, that's it. You're going too far. And, you know, thank God for that little voice in my head, because I did end up on OxyContin after breaking every single bone in my back, falling from a second-story balcony. The doctors were like, how are you even still alive? And they asked me this specific question, do you have people in your family who are addicted to drugs? Have you ever done drugs? And yada, yada. And I'm like, I've smoked weed. And they're like, oh, yeah. Like, weed is not a physically addictive drug, okay? So you can just continue to smoke that as much as you want, but you're not going to need it when you wake up in the morning unless you have some psychological need or some kind of pain need. That's why it's become more of a medication than anything else. But as far as, you know, my mother's issues with addiction, I just left it at that. I was like, that's her issue, not mine. And I'm going to take this drug responsibly, you know, and I knew that I was going to be drug tested. And so I just made sure that I did it responsibly. When I did not need the drug, sometimes I would just cut it in half or in quarters just to make sure I had a little bit in my system so that I wouldn't detox, because that was one of the dangers of taking medications like that. And for the fact that I had seizures, I could have, you know, put myself into a seizure. So there are times when I wasn't in pain and I used it just a small amount just to keep myself from, you know, going into a seizure. But I hope that helped you. Do you have any other questions you'd like to ask Janelle? Would you like to join her advocacy program, caller?
Janelle is an amazing, amazing advocate for our community. We're very vulnerable. Majority of us are women. And a lot of people don't see us. I appreciate you giving us that visibility.
Excuse me. I would like to say something to the caller from area code 312. This is a great opportunity and community that you can connect yourself with. I understand about being vulnerable, but I will endorse that this is a place, a safe haven for you. Ms. Jonelle Algaway, who is a co-founder of the National Plan Council. Also, she's an LLC, so it's not a hobby. It's a business for her, and definitely has to have integrity, accountability. Ms. Algaway, can you please give the young lady your contact information? Because she probably would need more counseling on this conversation than is provided in this episode. Would you like that, ma'am?
Yeah, sure. Again, you could sign up at nationalpaincouncil.org, and at the bottom there's an area where you can like put your comments, and you know anything you write in there, it will be sent to me, or you could send it to my email at executivedirector@nationalpaincouncil.org, and that's my email, and we could go from there. I did want to say one thing, though. There's a big difference between dependency and addiction. And an addiction is something like where somebody takes some and they they have issues with their life. They're not going to be able to continue doing their work and stuff like that. It's going to start interfering with things like that. So, you know, that's when, you know, you kind of maybe have a problem there. Whereas dependency is that you just, you are on a medication that, you know, you build a tolerance to and stuff like that possibly, or that you take it for a period of time and it's not a medication that you could just stop and that you're going to have to taper or step off of. So I just wanted to make sure that people know the difference between it and addiction.
And the physical dependency, there is a big difference. I feel like addiction changes a person's mental status. And like a physical addiction will not only change your mental status, but it will also change, you know, what's going on inside of your body. And it also messes with your brain cells and depletes what is known as serotonin. So this is one of the reasons why doctors, instead of putting us on pain medication, they decide, oh, your serotonin levels must be depleted. You need antidepressants. Please, if a doctor offers you that, do not take it unless you plan on being on antidepressants for the rest of your life, because what it does is it revs up your serotonin levels to the point where if you stop taking it, you will end up with some serious brain damage on top of not being able to remember things, being depressed often, and very suicidal. So that's why they always tell you, once you start, don't stop taking them, because your brain doesn't realize how to make. I'm sorry, Janelle. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, no, early on, you know, when I, started developing my incurable painful diseases, my doctor told me that it was called Cymbalta, that if I took that, it would help with the pain and lower my pain. And I wasn't necessarily depressed. It's just, you know, so I went on it, and I was on it for 3 years. I gained weight, and I did. I became suicidal and depressed, and I have to say it was a horrible, horrible drug to come off of. I had terrible withdrawals from it. I'd have these like brain zaps and stuff. Will never, ever go on an antidepressant, at least that you have to step off of. Although, you know, I think a lot of the time when people are dealing with these types of health issues, of course there's going to be kind of like a situational depression. You know what I mean? If you can't get up and do the things you want to do and live the life that you've always wanted to, you know, that you used to live, you're going to get a little depressed. So I think you're correct in saying that it could be very dangerous being put on these medications. And oftentimes doctors, because they're trying not to put you on pain medicines, they will put you on, you know, stuff like that, like serotonin blockers, NSAIDs, and they could have a lot of other side effects in themselves.
Which are more dangerous than the narcotics that they don't want you to have, which is just like a big conundrum, you know. So I'm glad that we're able to talk about it. Thank you, caller. Do you have any more questions? You have the contact number. Please make sure that you look Jonelle's website and reach out. You know, it's really important that you do, because nobody deserves to live, you know, in intractable pain. Jonelle and I are both testimony to this intractable pain. That's how we met, you know. Like, you're in pain, I'm in pain too. Let's talk, you know. So, Jonelle,
excuse me, I have a question. Caller,
okay.
312. The first question, A, I don't believe that she ever shared with this platform of her chronic pain disease. Would you like to share with that, or do you not feel comfortable?
Oh, me?
Yeah,
yes.
312.
Okay. I have complex regional pain syndrome.
She had the same thing.
CRPS, yeah. And some other debilitating conditions. I've just been concerned with sort of how the media has portrayed people like us, you know. Not a lot of support. Not a lot of support. And having been a chronic pain patient for a long time who has done very well with treatment, you all were talking about like antidepressants and gabapentin. I think all of those things have been thrown at different points, like, well, try this. And
yeah.
A lot of them do have safety issues, which we don't talk about.
Yeah.
Well, did you get information, the contact information for Ms. Jonelle Elgaway? Did you get the contact information for the Google Warrior? Did you have a paper and pen to write it down? Because she was talking a little fast. I'm just narrating.
Yeah.
Did you get the information? Area code 312?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, great. Awesome.
Great.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate your, you know, your questions and sharing a little bit about yourself. I know it's not easy.
It is. You know, sometimes I feel like that myself, you know. On the other side of the microphone, I'm like, wait, what do I say? I don't want to say too much. But listen, let's go on a teeny tiny break. Caller, are you satisfied with everything? If you could hang in there with us until the end of the show, you know, we still have a wealth of information we'd like to get through. And please be sure to follow us here on Purpose Exposure. And the show, you know, we still have a... I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Kind of broke up a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Welcome, area code 505. Welcome, area code 505. We're going to take a short break. Please hold on, callers. We'll be right back with you.
Okay, 505, head in there.
I am in. Cause it's not like the future depends on it. But save the animals in the zoo. Cause the chimpanzee, them a make big money. This is how the media pillages. On TV, the picture is. Savage is a village. And scientists still can't explain the pyramids. Evangelists making a living on the videos of ribs of the little kids. Stereotyping the image of the images. And this is what the image is. You buy a car, keep on stand. All of a sudden you are say a Indiana Jones. And I keep all the gold and keep all the scrolls and even the bird bones. Some of the worst paparazzis I've ever seen and I've ever known. Put the words on this place that the world can see and it's all I will ever show. So the ones in the west will never move east and feel like we'll be at home. Get tricked by the beast, but the way them are gonna flee when the monster is fully grown.
All I'm on the climate where them two can defeat and them could have never clown. A spiritual DNA that's print in my soul and I will forever own, Lord. Not knowing, are we born knowing all? We growing wiser, are we just growing tall? Can you read thoughts? Can you read palms? Can you predict the future? Can you see storms coming? The earth was flat, if you went too far, you would fall off. Now the earth is round, if the shape change again, everything.
Okay, welcome back, welcome back. All right, thank you for sticking with us. We have a caller on the line. Hello, caller. You say what? I feel like Oprah now.
Well, I'm not sure where to start. It's such a broad topic that has so many different problems associated with it. But I think it's embarrassing for the moment to put the truth there about opioids. I think that we've been fed massive amounts of information, which continues to be read by the public about buying opioids, legal opioids, which were never the cause of the opioid crisis. That's that.
It wasn't. Yeah,
that's right.
That is.
That's that. And the blurred line between dependency and addiction is something I also think is important to address, because where I live, people called legacy patients who have been chronic pain sufferers for years and safely taken opioids to relieve their pain and remain productive and active are being cast aside by medical providers with no weaning. And medically accepted weaning has been in for a long time. I mean, it's known that this isn't safe and it's not ethical, but providers are doing it out of fear. And we need to get government out of medical basically, not telling doctors what they can and cannot prescribe. But legacy patients are particularly at risk right now, I feel, because they're usually a little older. The rates of addiction among my demographic, I'm 62, are so low that it never made any sense that, this was about pain doctors overprescribing to pain patients. It just did not cause the opioid crisis. And I feel like we need some kind of campaign to just inform the general public. Because if everybody starts to know that they are and can be taken safely if you don't suffer from addiction, which is a total different thing from dependency. Dependency is more of a side effect. And dependency is not a risk if they don't stop your opioids. With most people who've been on them for 20 plus years, like I had, going to continue to need them, but don't need increasing doses. That's not even true. We've had to settle for having our doses cut real low for no reason, no medical reason. There's no ethics anymore because doctors are scared. And if we don't get the facts, I feel like the general public is going to continue to buy into this. And without a lot of voices and a lot of pushback, they're going to prohibit these opioids if they can.
Oh, they
the legal
already
ones.
Have.
Yeah.
They already have. I mean, in hospitals, you got to be literally, you know, your eye has to be hanging out of your head. You know, you got to be cut wide open in your chest.
Exactly.
And don't even get me started
in our local hospital. They don't treat a pain patient in the ER anymore for breakthrough pain that their doctor isn't covering anymore.
That's why I'm pushing it's education, legislation, and litigation. And I think this is how we're going to change things eventually. But we need all hands on deck for this.
And we need not just sick people, everybody.
Yes, we do need money, but
because money talks and everybody else walks, and that's the way the government works.
That's what's actually behind what's going on right now. This whole opioid epidemic or whatever, it's really an exchange of money right now. I mean, there's a greed.
Yeah,
it's a way to funnel money.
Yeah. But I believe that some of the groups involved also have strained, nutty, moralistic sort of prejudices against pain medications. And the sad part is that they're not even thinking that any human being is one illness or accident away from needing these meds. It would be a gross, inhumane act to continue right. on the path we're on now. I mean,
exactly.
humanity needs these meds. It's been proven yeah. that pain that's not treated appropriately becomes chronic.
And it also and it hurts. Can turn into a mental condition that is beyond doctors' understanding. You know, like because we put so much stress on our body, our brain tissues begin to obliterate themselves trying to create this, you know, serotonin and oxytocin and all these other, you know, brain chemicals so that we can make ourselves feel well, you know.
Yeah.
And so we're depleting them. Some of them are turning to very hard drugs, you know. I mean, the first time I ever met Jonelle,
you know,
the desperation is there.
The government is creating a bigger market for the street fentanyl that caused the crisis.
Yeah. Imagine
that's
that,
what they're doing.
Right?
Well,
yeah.
I would like to say something, ladies, and we all can sing together, but we all can't at the same time. But pharmacy is a very big business. It's just like crack cocaine. It's just like blow. It's just like heroin. It's a drug, and it's a business, illegal. And what they do, they
yeah.
just find a way to legalize it where they can get paid and get their taxes. But as you spoke earlier before that, you know, you need money. Okay, you need money. Do you have a budget? Do you have a plan? Your voice is priceless. Your voice is more worth than any amount of dollar. But when you have platforms like this and women and men and people that are dealing with situations like this together and use their voice together, that is more powerful than anything.
Exactly.
Because one thing the government
exactly.
don't like, they don't like a lot of noise. So I think mm-hmm. that once again, Ms. Jonelle Elgaway, which I'm not trying to promote her, I'm just saying she is a pain counsel, and she's a great listener,
right.
obviously. But I think she should once again share her contact information slowly, and hopefully everyone has their notebooks, because I have my pen and paper too, and I usually don't keep a pen and paper when I'm doing the show.
Yeah.
But hopefully I can write this contact information down, replay it, listen to it from the beginning to the end, as well as hopefully she can provide it to Warrior, and we can put our email address and website on the webpage
yeah.
as well. I think this
yeah,
is great, very powerful. 90 seconds.
No,
now, would you ladies like
very
to?
Very powerful.
Yes. Now, would you
the
ladies?
The problem is, it's not a problem that there are so many. The problem is, we haven't all come together to unite in one huge effort to meet the noise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we're in so much pain, we can't get up to do this.
Well,
I'll do it.
Say,
I'll do
you
that.
You gotta push through the pain.
I'm trying to lighten.
Any woman ever had a child, you have
yes.
to learn. You know how to push through to the pain. You gotta push through the pain.
Yeah, it becomes
different
when it's 24/7.
I understand.
No, but that's the thing, though, about National Pain Council. I mean, you can advocate with us and volunteer with us. All you need, you could do it from your bed. All you need is your cell phone and internet access,
exactly.
and you'll be able to help us. So,
because
you know,
I'm still writing letters, and I'm still contacting Congress, Medicare, because I believe they're involved. I'm complaining everywhere, and I think we all need to overwhelm these agencies with complaints.
Right.
You can't
and
treat us this way.
Okay, ladies, we got 26 seconds. We're going
to
go overtime, but we're going to take a real quick break. We only got 10
right.
seconds. So we're going to go overtime because y'all ladies on fire, okay? Just give
yeah.
us a short break.
Use
thank
your
you,
anger.
Yeah.
Each other every night. Young age under rich. No matter which way you go, now we never go back. You better find a black eye before it's dark. Feel like I'm in a desert, so lonely, can't find no soul. I feel stuck in my past, feel stuck in my past, no wings to fly. Feel lost in the dark, feel lost in my dreams, don't wake me up. I feel lost in the space, no shit in the space to find my way. I feel lost in the shadows, can't find myself. Too many voices inside my head, I can't get them out. I'm on the mic, was awesome. Last night was awesome. That's okay, we all had the trade song. All around the pool, ladies screaming, boy, you're handsome. And I told them that you're beautiful too. But that could never ever mean I'm tripping for you. Excuse me, you the girl that has been calling my phone, testing me, asking me to become friends with you. As a black king, I'ma need the black queen. They said the future bright, all I say is 3D. Positive till I make my mama proud, doesn't win-win. Buy my mama house like my nigga Mr. Cardi. Got his hoes tripping while I've got my eyes on Sayy. Got the swag, got the flows. My nigga feel me like the shark to leave. Without the green leaves, smell fresh like the whiskey, I live a green coach. Poof, poof, hear the sound when you fucking with the crazy bitch. Speak the truth, never lie, call me a smile. You can ask your mama, tell that I don't got good dad. I'm a legend, but I guess I'm not the only one. Everybody did it together, I did it without one. All up on my flow, so the friend, I'm the chosen one. So feel me, I feel the point I'm trying to make. Father couldn't, so he gave me his name. Promise father, I'ma take you to the hall of fame. Life is hard, life is a chance game. Be your knight, draw your sword. I'm moving L chef, do your best. I made these haters get a checkmate. Shit, made these haters get a checkmate.
Welcome back to the Guru Warrior. And for those who are listening, we are talking some major stuff here. So grab your pens and your notebooks. Hopefully you did that during the break that we had. I am the Guru Warrior. I am a lupus warrior as well as an advocate. You can find me on Living with Lupus One Day at a Time. Okay, and Jonelle, please give your information again because, you know, it is very important because we need more people.
Well, thank
slowly.
You. Yeah, so again, our website is National Pain Council at .org. Sorry, so nationalpaincouncil.org. My email is executive director at nationalpaincouncil.org. So it's kind of pretty simple. It's long though. So you can reach me through my email, or if you want to sign up, you know, you could sign up on our website. And we're looking to work with, you know, if you just want to be a member, that's great. There's no membership fees. We send out regular newsletters. But we are always looking for volunteers. And like I said earlier, to be a volunteer, if you're sick and you can't get out of bed, all you need is your cell phone and internet access. And we can give you something to do. We will find a place for you because, look, all of us matter. And it's going to take each and every one of us to fight this if we're going to do it. Because like we said earlier, we don't. You know, it's hard to really get money within this, but numbers matter, you know, and our voices matter. And if we work together and come together, you know, we can really make changes. And the other thing is we work with plenty of other organizations. We're affiliated with Don't Finish Pain Rally, the Doctor Patient Forum, ADPF,
the Tenet Foundation. I mean, we work with doctors and, you know, and other organizations as well and groups. So, you know, again, we're not looking to recreate anything that's already been being worked on or that's been created, but instead add to it and make it better. And we'll help you, we'll provide our resources to make that project better. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, for some reason, my guts tell me right now that it's imperative that we get the public involved, because once the public, see, I realize that there's a certain way you have to do that, but the information needs to be made public, that the government has lied about opioids, the government lied about the opioid crisis. Once your average person on the street understands that these drugs are safe and they're being vilified for a very profit mode, whatever it is, you know, I don't care about their motives anymore. The thing is to stop it. And if the whole, you know, if the general public starts getting the idea, hey, you know, this isn't right, then that will help. Because pain patients, you know, often don't feel like doing much. But as I said, your cell phone and your computer are our weapons right now. There's YouTube.
Yeah.
What about a set of videos that state?
And this, it's really hard to find a fact on anywhere, even on regular television, because, you know, I find that most people are prompted to say what the government wants to say. So this is
not
one of the why we cannot.
There are good sources of fact. The Red Law Firm, he writes great stuff.
Actually, Red is my advisor pretty much, and he's amazing.
Yeah, he is amazing.
You know, actually,
he really is.
He's going to be helping my doctor, actually, too.
That's great. I know he's really involved. He does a lot of writing, and his writing, you know, you can't beat it. He sums up the facts, and it's his job to dig for these facts. I trust him more than I would read his papers over anybody else's. We know we've been lied to, and we know what's going on. We aren't stupid. And so we need to make sure.
I can't believe the doctor fell for the OxyContin thing. I'm like, come on, guys, really?
Oh, my goodness.
But I used to have an uncle that used to work for Abbott, right? May he rest in peace. But he told me from the very beginning, once I really started, you know, going through the pain issues and the medication issues and stuff, he's like, I need you to remember one thing. I need you to do every kind of research on any kind of medication that you take. And then I need you to remember that some doctors, not all, but some, do take kickbacks from pharmaceutical companies to spread the joy. And they give
They're doing it on, like, injections and SDS systems. And, I mean, like, sometimes those things permanently hurt people. Like, the injections, did you know if you get more than 3 in one place, it can start breaking down permanently your soft cell tissue, and it could cause adhesive arachnoiditis, which is an incurable
disease. And never mind that they're not even a solution for people with complicated pain issues. They don't work.
No.
And so we need to go back to insanity and what does work.
Well, and I call them drill mills. I mean, doctors are trading out, if you will get these injections or if you get this SCS system, I'll give you a prescription, you know. And
let's talk about how much money people are moving off the box on right now.
I want to talk about something else really strange that, you know, I've been finding out that has been working out for a lot of people, and that is microdosing psilocybin, or, you know, the newest one, Janelle, give me the word. Da-da-da-da. You just had a treatment.
My problem with that is we shouldn't be forced to use something that may have harmful effects on some people when we know it works for us. I'm really concerned about legacy patients that are being cut off.
I mean, I'm a legacy patient myself, and I was just, like, kicked to the curb like a dog, you know. And
I said,
patients and like palliative care are pretty much similar. And basically any patient that is needing lifelong care to be able to have a quality of life, that's what they are.
Yes.
And which, by the way,
the CDC is going to have to do better. We need protection.
Say, the 2016 CDC guidelines in their first sentence said, palliative care, cancer patients, and end of life patients are exempt. Well,
exactly.
They lied because they're not exempt because doctors did not follow that.
Well, they
and
lied about everything.
Doctors,
no, and
yeah.
Cancer patients.
You know, the whole morphine equivalency thing is not based in science. That's not how chronic pain is treated. Doses are titrated per individual patient. So that's even a lie.
Yeah.
You know, it's based
yeah,
in nothing.
Is. Yeah,
they're full of
like
hot
you
air,
can't measure
and they need
pain.
To pull out.
You really just can't. But ladies, I would like to do a part two of this show, and have you guys back come and speak about it because we have run out of time. And
yes.
Oh, time is worse. Running out of time on a good conversation is worse than getting yanked off of your pain medication. Okay. But once again, I am living with lupus one day at a time. I am hashtag the Guru Warrior. I do many other podcasts. Jonelle, do your information one more time.
NationalPainCouncil.org. Sign up. We'd love to have you. And again, you can reach out to me at executive director at nationalpaincouncil.org. Thank you so much for having me on, and I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening so much. I am your girl, the Guru Warrior, wishing you love, health, wealth, peace, happiness, harmony, and most of all,
thank you.
Unity. I'm out.
Bye-bye. Thank you.